Welcome back. It is my joy to spend this half hour exploring something I didn't know about until I got an email from my old friend Peter McDowell, who used to work for the Department of Cultural Affairs here. He's a movie maker, and he likes to spread the word about interesting cultural events. He sent me something. All it said on the top of it is Paul Robeson, Man of the People, a new jazz poetry opera. I am a huge fan of Paul Robeson. I do not think enough people know about Paul Robeson. So, Peter, thank you, and you've introduced me to, or I'm meeting right now, the co-creator of this creative event, Lasana Kazembe. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Rick.
Sure, but I have faith in you, Peter. You've rarely led me wrong. Lasana, if I can call you that, you have co-created this thing with composer Ernest Dawkins, and it features one of my ardent friends and a great admirer, D. Alexander, on vocals. Could you tell me how this show came to be?
Sure. Thank you for the question, and thank you for making time and space for a discussion about this. I'm a professor at IU Indianapolis. I'm a professor of education and Africana studies, and I'm also a poet and a spoken word artist for some 30 years now. So in 2022, I received a very generous fellowship, a $50,000 fellowship, from the IU Presidential Arts and Humanities Fund to produce a show. And I conceptualized this idea for Paul Robeson, Man of the People, about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted it to be a jazz poetry opera. It is, in fact, the fourth that I've written about iconic figures in the world. And most of my productions, this is going to be my 12th one.
Wow.
Most of my productions have featured local artists here in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
But however, given our subject matter, given our subject, I needed something that was larger than life. And so I reached out to my good friend, Ernest Dawkins, a world internationally renowned musician, composer, educator. And I reached out to Ernest. I'd written this libretto. And what I needed was someone, I'm not a musician,
mm-hmm.
I know it sounds good, but I needed someone who knew music, and I knew Ernest had the chops, and so I reached out to Ernest to actually help me co-compose the score. So he took the lead on the score, I took the lead on the libretto, and then we're going to bring it together in a nice fusion.
Well, you're tackling in this a huge, huge subject, and one I think has sort of faded. I think if I went out on the street corner now in Michigan and Wacker and asked 20 people, you ever heard of Paul Robeson? I would get 19 no's and one person saying, oh yeah, didn't he sing Old Man River? I think this is one of the great underappreciated giants of the 20th century. Do you agree with that?
I certainly do.
Yeah.
And I think that's owed to many, many factors, not least is the sort of erosion, if you will, of integrity in the arts.
Yep.
And integrity in how we fund arts learning in school. There's an arts learning gap in this nation.
Oh, no kidding.
Particularly in the Midwest. And so that what you just described is very much the reality.
Yeah.
And what it does for someone like me is it sort of reifies the work that we have to do to sort of foreground Mr. Robeson and bring his story to new generations and new audiences.
You know, in a way, I think Mr. Robeson needs to be as well known. I'm making a real leap here. As well known as the life story of Muhammad Ali and or Dr. Martin Luther King and or certainly Jack Johnson, the black prize fighter. I think, and tell me if I'm wrong here, you obviously know much more about this than I do. Part of the reason was Robeson was brave enough to speak out. In speaking out, he got, labeled with the McCarthy, that idiot senator from Wisconsin nonsense, which I think in some ways helped diminish his stature. Do you agree with that supposition?
I think that's a fair supposition.
Yeah.
And it is also, I think, alongside that, just to put a little context on that, this is a man that we're talking about who essentially pioneered the struggle against Jim Crow racial terrorism in the 30s and 40s.
No question.
And who had an awakening, if you will, of two key figures that came into his life. One of them was the great communist leader William Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one, this is his wife, Eslanda Good, that was her maiden name. But he met her in hospital when he was recovering from football injuries. And it was Eslanda that actually encouraged Mr. Robeson's turn toward the arts. Prior to that, he had earned a law degree from Columbia Law School in New York City and found that he was unable to practice law because of the racism that he experienced in that sector. And so it was his wife, Eslanda, who actually encouraged him to begin forging a career for himself in the arts. With his rich baritone voice, it was almost a natural fit for him.
And he was. I hate to keep sort of bringing this up. I so admire you for doing this show because it's, to my mind, it's long overdue. But it's a lot to bite off, don't you think? I mean, I'm assuming you'll ignore his football prowess because there are just so many different aspects to this man's character. Tell me, because you would know, what is it that you think fired his later in life activism? Because he was as active a searcher for racial justice and social justice. What fired that in Mr. Robeson?
Well, I think there were a couple of things. One was a visit that he had made to Germany. And during that monumental visit in the 30s, he came face to face with fascism.
Yeah.
And it terrified him.
Yeah.
And that really, really terrified him. And I also think the influence of the gentleman that I mentioned earlier, Mr. William Patterson.
Sure.
His involvement with communism. William Patterson, of course, would go on to become a leader, if you will, in the justice movement to sort of bring justice, gain justice for the Scottsboro boys.
Yeah.
Who had been accused of raping a white woman. Charges that were later found to be just trumped up and false. But it was owing, I think, to Mr. Patterson's activism, sense of justice. And I think the other thing, and this is related to Robeson's sensibilities as an artist, this is a man who spoke over 20 languages, spoke and sang
exactly
over 20 languages fluently.
Yeah.
And so one of Paul Robeson's hobbies was, in fact, studying languages. He was convinced that there was some sort of Ariadne thread that connected all of humanity, and it could be found in language. He said that, you know, tell me your stories and sing me your songs, and I will tell you something about the history of your people.
Mm.
And so he was very ardent. He was very, very charged with learning, and he believed that speaking to people in their language was the most direct route to the heart and the most direct route to appeal to them and to create this sort of bond, this human bond. And so I think that his investment, his commitment as an artist to learning folk songs in Spanish and German and Norwegian and all of these different languages and stuff, I think that imbued in him a kind of humanity, a humanism, a sensibility that sort of portrayed itself and displayed itself in his art and his art making.
And I'm sure it displays itself in Paul Robeson, Man of the People, a new jazz poetry opera. It is going to be performed for the second time only June 7th at Hamilton Park District at 513 West 72nd Street. It is free and open to the public. We will get back. If you and Peter, I haven't even said hello to you, Peter. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Rick.
That's Peter McDowell. You must be terribly taken with this show. I mean, you wouldn't have called me otherwise. This seems like an incredibly ambitious production, don't you think?
Absolutely. Paul Robeson is a figure I learned about in my youth because I've been involved in opera my whole life. And so I knew about him and I knew about his social justice. And I did some work with Ernest Dawkins last fall with the Englewood Jazz Festival. And so Ernest called me up, told me about it, and introduced me to Lasana. And, yeah, it all sounded very exciting to me, and it sounded like it was right up your alley.
It is up my, it is totally up my alley. We got to take a short little break here and come back, and I'll try to talk to you, Lasana, about the nation. There just seems to be, it seems like an, or even for an opera, it seems like an organizational, such an organizational challenge. I want to know how you tackled it, to use a football word that Robeson was also a great, unbelievable athlete. We will be back in a couple minutes. Lasana Kazembe is a spoken word artist. I always consider spoken word people artists. I hope that's okay with you. He and Ernest Dawkins, composer and saxophonist, have created a show that will feature about a dozen people, Dee Alexander, the great vocalist, among them, tackling the immense, as someone once called Paul Robeson, the tallest tree in our forest. Paul Robeson, Man of the People, a new jazz poetry opera. In your collaboration, Lasana, with Ernest Dawkins, what was that like? You had written the libretto, and was he as familiar with Robeson as you?
No, I don't think so. I had over the last I went to Paul Robeson High School in Chicago.
Sure, now closed. Yeah,
no longer there. Yeah,
yep.
But so most of my life, I had known of Mr. Robeson. I didn't know the context and detail, but when I went to college at age 17, that's when I began a real deep foray into the culture and the history, and I brushed up against him. But what I'd done was written this outline, this sketch, and it was in the form of really of the project proposal for the fellowship that I mentioned earlier.
Sure.
From there, it spun into me actually sitting down and outlining what I wanted this opera to look like and sound like and flow like. So the opera is a 2-hour opera. We won't have the formal intermission at Hamilton Park like we will in Indianapolis on May 31st.
May 31st, yeah.
Right. So, but May 31st is going to be actually the full show with the whole complement.
Mm.
And it occurs across 6 movements. Movement 1 is called Into This Storm, He Is Born. Movement 2 is called Made in America. Movement 3, Making of a Race Man. Movement 4, A Watched Man. Movement 5, The Great Forerunner. And then Movement 6, The Tallest Tree in Our Forest, a moniker given to him by the great, late great Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune.
Yeah.
And so those movements sort of flow together and develop sequentially to reflect Mr. Robeson's development and his maturation into this global icon for activism and freedom. And then the poetry, the spoken word, and the narration, which I handle, that sort of complements and sort of and helps to propel the story. For the opera, I wrote 8 new poems and 5 new songs. And what I'd done prior to connecting with Ernest, I had created 44 different musical concepts.
Wow.
That is, I'm a great fan of Leonard Bernstein and West Side Story and drama and epic and how music can be used to sort of paint, you know, scenes.
Sure.
So I created these 44 different concepts. And so by the time Ernest and I hooked up about a year later, and we had a series of Zoom meetings, and I put all of this stuff into a Google Drive, and he laughed at me at first because I'm not a musician, and he's like, man, just leave the music to me. But I was, what I was trying to do with those concepts is actually, I knew what I wanted it to sound like. I knew how it needed to flow, and I knew how I wanted it to sort of tell this story. And so he took all of that stuff and actually went back to his lab, and he began sort of developing the score and would feed songs back to me. And I said, it's exactly, and I can hear in the actual charts, the musical charts that he had developed, I could actually hear the concept that I had fed him.
Oh, boy.
It's just a really, really beautiful process to see that come to fruition.
Well, that sounds like some collaborative effort. I think this is so exciting. It's going to combine, you know, video and all sorts of other things. And it's going to premiere. The first performance is May 31st in somewhere. Where in Indianapolis?
It'll be at a venue here. It's a performing arts venue.
Oh, okay.
Cabaret.
Okay.
Yeah, that's from the outgoing artist in residence there. So this will be my 12th show there.
Well, you sound like a fascinating guy.
Thank you.
Well, no, I mean, Peter McDowell does not introduce me to non-fascinating people. And I'm sure you've seen Peter's movie. And Peter, you'll have to come on again and talk about what's going on with the story about your brother. It's quite a film. Do you go by Dr. Kazembe?
When I'm working.
Oh, okay.
Working. But please call me Lasana.
Yeah, I do. No, I said, wow, you have a PhD. You're the first PhD guy who doesn't demand to be called doctor. I think in the neighborhood you're performing this at Hamilton Park District. I think you're going to get a lot of really interesting young people. I'm hoping interested or curious young people there, because I think you're onto something here, Lasana. I think you're really onto something, because I think this man needs greater exposure. I think, you know, it's interesting how some people slip into the dust of history. Do you know what I mean? You are bringing him to the forefront. I got to get down and try to see this. I will write about it for the Tribune so you people can have more access to it. But it takes... it's my pleasure. It takes place June 7th at Hamilton Park District. Why did you select, in the minute or two I have left, why did you select that venue? Is that a familiar place to you?
No. I mean, I was born in Englewood. I'm from Chicago.
Yeah, I know that. You went to Robeson High School, yeah.
Yeah, Ernest was the one that made that suggestion. I know he has the Englewood Jazz Festival. He does a lot of work in the community.
Right,
so it was
right.
Kind of a natural fit.
Right.
Originally, with the fellowship, the original idea was to actually debut this in New York City at the Apollo.
Oh.
It was going to be in New York City. I was actually in talks with them, but the scheduling got messed up. And so my fellowship called for me to do this in two cities.
Gotcha.
So we're going to do it here, and then Chicago was the next choice.
I think the Apollo sounds like a great eventual venue. It is Peter McDowell, thank you so much. Lasana Kazembe.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
I want to mention this is free. It's
yeah, free. I know. Free. You don't have to reserve tickets. Just go see the thing. I'll talk to you both again before I write for the paper, but thank you. It sounds like a great show.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for the time.
Thanks.